Chairperson, we have three apologies. We have apology from the Minister of Social Development, who is currently in PU on an October 24th event. The Deputy Minister is also unable to attend the meeting, as he is attending the ANC World League of Working the Province. We also have apology from Honourable Treasurer, who is not going to be due to flight issues.
Honourable members, we have two items on the agenda this morning. One is the consideration of the annual report of the African Social Security Agency for the 2011-2012 financial year, briefing by the African Social Security Agency on the registration process of social planning issues. I just want to hear from you. Would you like to get guidance from? Would you like to first have the first presentation, ask questions, and then go for the second one and combine the two presentations? We need to leave the venue by 12:00. Honourable Kumalo.
Thanks, Chairperson. As I said, that we have all the additions and questions that I've had.
Chair, I suggest that we deal with the reports because that should be therefore the main purpose of this meeting, to deal with annual reports, and then if there is time after the second presentation. We already have half an hour left. Thank you.
We've got two opinions
on
the proposals. Would any other member like to comment at this stage? Because I think it was a request of the committee to do the review of the can we do with the annual report as it was instructed by 11:30, and then we go over to the new legislation.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. I'll just share, introduce or maybe ask the DSD officials to introduce themselves quickly. Maybe they start to all of them with FASFA as well. My name is Kotoko Pagati, the Acting Director General for Social Development. Then I'll hand over to the CEO and then we go down.
This is Shoma Shabohan, General Manager, Law Services
Department. Good morning, my name is Frank of FASFA Operations.
Good morning, my name is Frank.
Good morning, my name is Chilela, Entity Oversight, Social Development.
Good morning, my name is Tula Fajit, General Manager, Financial Accounting.
Good morning, Rapasha Ramukoba from SASA.
Good morning, this is John Muriva, Acting CFO, Social Development.
Good morning, Renee Ogle, General Manager, Public Affairs.
Good morning, Lena John, General Manager, Glad Administration.
Good morning, Linda Brooklyn, Head of Administration, Peter's Office.
Good morning, Nathema Rasul, SASA Intergovernmental and Stakeholder Liaison.
Good morning, Kathy Hendricks from the Office of Deputy Minister in Tuli.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've covered all. I will now hand over to the CEO of SASA to guide the proceedings.
very much for joining our chairperson and members of the portfolio committee. The purpose of our presentation today is to obviously present our performance and achievements for 2011-2012 financial year, and also to present budget and expenditure for that year and the audit outcome. I will start the lengthy presentation because I will attempt to handle slides but not to every line on each slide, if that's okay with you. As we all know, that the Simpsons, that's better. As we all know, that chapter is a 3A public entity, and it derives its mandate from the Constitution, the Social Assistance Act, and the South African Social Security Agency Act. Our vision and our mission is outlined, and our slogan being NJALO, which is the most important focus for us right now, to ensure that the right social grant is made the right place at the right time. Our key strategic objectives for the year under review was customer care centered benefit administration and management systems, system integrity, and increased access to social security services. Given these key challenges that SASSA was faced with at the time, the agency identified key priority projects to focus on, which include service delivery improvement, automation of the grants, management and administration improvement of the payment method, which included the implementation of the current payment reform and the development of a new payment system and improved audit towards the clean audit as all of us should go by 2014. Just again to give members an understanding that SASSA has a very large delivery footprint. We have more than 1,200 literally offices, and then obviously our district offices and our head office, and we have 9,000 papers. In terms of the key highlights of the year for the review, well, they see myself as being appointed permanently as bringing value to the agency and also stabilizing the leadership of the agency. And then obviously looking at the service delivery network as one of the other features. 2,500 service delivery points, including 335 local offices and 900 service points, and 9,000, as I said earlier, approximately. At the end of the financial year, 10.3 million recipients were benefiting from the social assistance program, and the grant in that year was 15.595 million grants. In terms of new applications processed in that, there's 1.2 million grants were processed, and we appointed a new service provider for the payment of our grant in January 2012. In terms of our achievements during that year, and I look specifically under the customer care priority, the target for the year under review was 15.7 74 and 162 back in grant numbers. What we achieved in fact was 15.59575 benefits being paid. I give a breakdown of the numbers, but as we go along in this presentation, chairperson will constantly refer to those numbers later, and we can see the increases and decreases against them. So we can see there was a 4.4% overall increase in grants. As I said earlier, 1.2 million new applications. And 500,000 were left. I think it's important to understand as we take on grants, there's temporary disabilities, people pass on, people's circumstances get reviewed, and we do have a result of lack of life certificates in taking off people off the system every year. That year was 500,000. It is important to note there's a 25.5% growth in the payment over the past 5 years. Now I'll get specifically to the numbers of grants and payment during that financial year. We can see the increase in old age grants from the 2010-11 year from 2.6 million to 2.7 million. We can see the logical decrease in the war veterans from 958 to 753 in the year under review. We can see disability grants being 1.2 and then hovering at 1198. there's been a very stringent review of the disability application process. Granting aid, obviously, increased from 58,000 to 66,000. The foster care has shown a steady growth from 512,000 to 536,000. The care dependency has gone up from 112 to 114,000. And obviously a significant growth again in the child support grant from 10.2 million to 10.9 million during that year. And this is bringing the grant up to 15.5 million with a 4.4% increase. We will then proceed to look specifically at the impact of the different age groups, age cohorts within the child support grant. And I think this is an achievement for us when we extended the child support grant to include the 16 and 17 year olds. There was an under-recovery in that year. But during the year under review, we made a 99% achievement of the number for that age cohort. And we put the target there. Social relief of distress, there was a 95% disbursement, just to remind the members again what that seeks to address. Families in undue hardship, and we also have families in what we call disaster incidents being assisted, particularly families who went through hardships of unemployment, etc. They had minimum support from government to up to 3 months with food to the value of 1,200 or vouchers which they could take to different service providers to obtain food. Thank you, Chairperson. If we continue on the internal reconsideration mechanism, this particularly linked to the appeal process in government, will recall, Chairperson and members, that the appeal process provides for people who have been rejected for a grant to be able to go and exercise the administrative justice process. So if we have the step in between where we look internally at that to see if there was compliance with the process, but something in that process led to the person being declined for the grant. You will see that 6,400 applications were adjudicated during 90 days. The remainder were done in the beginning of this financial year. But if more is needed on this, we would speak to it. I think we must also look at during that process back in all the IRM process, so that it didn't go straight into appeal, because we had an issue of should we do the second opinion with doctors, particularly with disability grants, what would be effective of an administrative, literally, reconsideration mechanism. This focuses particularly on disability grants, where we've had our most issues with our people. I would say more than 90% of the reconsiderations have been on the disability grants. So it was to actually improve the assessment also. To make sure that the errors, including errors, don't arise. There was a net decrease of 20,000 in the number of disability-related grants, and we need to point to that. Service delivery improvements continue when we looked at 89% of new applications were processed within 21 days. And I think this is important to note. The reason we don't have it at 98 or 100% is because of the disability grants. As a result of the medical process involving disability grants, this slows down the application process where we cannot provide the grant in 21 days, because people sometimes have to go for further opinion to the doctor, and that takes it into another month. Standardization of our business process is probably one of the biggest reforms in our service delivery, which takes the process of application to a uniform approach throughout the country, where some offices were taking the value chain consisted of 60 areas and reduced it to a four-step process throughout the country. This also indicates how your staffing will be apportioned to an office against the standardized model. We have the Eastern Cape and the Free State still running a separate MIS system, and this during this year under review, we attempt to bring them on the national grid, which we managed in Free State. We have still partially only did Eastern Cape. A fully automated process could actually be appreciated. We're not there yet. In terms of the improvement, as still that priority for us, improvement of local office infrastructure. I think all the members have spoken over time about the conditions of offices, particularly when there are lots of people at the office. But if the system is automated, you would want people to move through very quickly. So you would not expect large crowds to be at the office all the time. Whilst we are still in that process, we've had to look at the conditions of our offices. That's our offices are either shared with the Department of Social Development, or they are in two shop centres, or they are on their own. During the year, I review after the 335 local offices, we literally standardised on what's called a new SASA look. 75 local offices throughout the country, we improved the way it's positioned. We put communication signs in place so people can understand the value chain itself, from the application process till when they get their letter, the 1021 process. So if you come in at the door, you meet a customer agent, you go on to the application process if you have all the paperwork, to reduce the kind of waiting time of people coming halfway through the process and then seeing they don't have the document in place. So we have tried to streamline that, but also the positioning of the office. Accessibility is important for our customers, ramping for people with disabilities, and also generally having a uniform approach, which has been what we've done. So the installation of computers, branding, and better seating accommodation has been provided in the 75 offices. The improvement of the pay point infrastructure here, as we well know, SASA has a legacy of pay points. Out of the 9,000 pay points, some of them are still on the guild, some of them are still without cover, some of them are really not adequate kind of approach we would like. We spent about almost 14 million rand last year upgrading 366 pay points. That's also an acceleration this year. But also seen a change in the process that people tend to use other options, particularly in the city. But the pay points process improvement will continue, and we'd like to see a bigger number for this coming year. But it does include looking at ablution, it does include some cover, chairs, filter for water, etc. So people can have a better payment experience. In further improving our payment system, we've looked at obviously the debt and the recovery of dormant accounts. 30 million was the target. At least we only recovered 34 million, but at least there has been sense of recovery. I think we need to work closely with DSD, because some of the debt comes from the DSD bureau. It's not all direct SASA wealth grant related. It's located within the provinces as our historical footnote. We will continue to work with DSD to increase the level of recovery of the debt. We've also had to the management of service provided by payment contractors. All payment contractors were terminated at the end of this financial year. In further looking at improvement of our services, we have sent out notifications and reviews in terms of life certification, which will be overtaken later in our conversation on re-registration. But during the year under review, there were targets set of 900,000 reviews and 700,000 life certificates. We notified 797,000 of administrative decisions and were reviewing that. And 1.3 million beneficiaries were life certificates, which is more than the target set, and 598,000 grants as a result of the process was left. Beneficiary record management, the MIS process has led in the past to various qualifications, so there's been an upgrade in dealing with the records management and the exception, and to give an indication of some of the cleaning up that has been affected within that. Our second priority deals with improved systems integrity. During the year under review, we look at the human capital management. We'll see the total number of posts at that is 19,000, but I keep explaining this all the time. 19,000 would assume that SASA is carrying 100% mandate, which it is not. SASA should then be able to say that it takes on grant applications and pays out the grants themselves. That would be 100% mandate. At the moment, we have an application process, but we have a service provider. Zagreb, who pays out the grants on our behalf. Therefore, this is not a true reflection of the status of what our staffing level should be. In fact, you will see in the numbers, whilst we only have 9,137 posts that are being funded, as a result of only carrying the 50% mandate. The total number of employees at 31st of March 2012 was 8,437. The processes during that financial year, we were able to fund 1,496 posts to give you that top number. And out of that 1,384 targets, we achieved some of that outcome. An additional 105 posts in special projects, which included the expanded public works program, we added workers in our way, MIS, the management information system, particularly linked to our warehouses, grant administration, and also took on some additional workers to assist us in our debt management during that year. The employee wellness, well, when you work in the environment we work, it's really important to have a response to your employees. We upped our response by having an EAP available to staff members for assistance programs in case of various difficulties. And we will say 2,487 employees participate in health screening exercises. Skills audit was done in terms of the in terms of internal audit and risk, I think this is an area of always going to be a critical area within SASSA because of the vulnerability and risk within the organization. We developed and implemented an integrity policy, developed the ethics program for our workers, and we also developed an integrated fraud prevention strategy which continually is looked at and modified against the various new strategies people have to commit fraud in our organization. We will see that a total of 2,509 cases were referred to law enforcement agencies. This is the work of the SIU as well. 1,048 internal full investigations were conducted by the agency, and 40,000 beneficiaries were verified for eligibility and existence. A total of 2,488 persons were brought before court in the year under review, and of this number, 2,258 were convicted. 5,400 people further signed acknowledgement of debt value to 43.7 million. I just want to say that we have this historical thing where SIU has signed on a lot of acknowledgement of debt. But you're signing on acknowledgement of debt to people who no longer have any income. So the fact of the recovery process made all the more harder by this, because if someone was receiving a grant illegally, you remove that grant, they would now not have an income. And generally, these are people in poorer conditions, so we do struggle with the recovery of debt. In terms of legal services, I think here's been a significant decrease, and this is linked to SASSA's ability during the year under review to be a more efficient and effective in its delivery of the grant application process to people, and the long waits have been reduced. And you will see that litigation in the previous 2008-09, going back, was like 15,000 a year. When we look at 2011-2012, it had literally decreased to 249 cases only. That is a significant decrease, but speaks to the more effective management within the organization. In terms of the, we could always take you through the litigation, and if not, you'd like to put this on the get my time sheet. That's okay, but you could go to priority three. Yes. In terms of our community outreach, which we call the IPROP program, we had targeted 44 rural wards during the year under review. We had netted 98,000 beneficiaries in the rural wards. This is specifically necessary where we have deep rural areas where the distance between the citizen and the office takes more than 100 rand, which it should never, to achieve the outcome of the constitutional right to social security, that we have to reach up to far-flung areas and physically go there. And that's the reason for this program.
And there was a target of 65,000 SME, which was exceeded in that 3 years to 98,000. Customer care or customer relation management, that is through our customer care within offices, but also through the call center process, 99% of the queries were attended to. We are looking at further strengthening that. There are many hotlines that relate to SASA besides our own. There's the presidential one, there is the public service one, there is lots of other mechanisms that people achieve the outcome of bringing the queries to our attention. In terms of our financial performance during the 2011 12th year, the revenue, as we can the amount of money we received to drive our operations was 6.1 billion rand. That's important to say. You'll see the outcomes as we go along. I see the fingers of my operators stop the number. Thank you. You will see that 86% of the allocation of 6.1 billion was in fact spent. 5.2 billion was the actual expenditure, with 881 million being the variance. The reason for the variance, Chairperson, was that there was a renegotiated process with the service providers who pay out grants, so that's the sum of the issues. There was also very strict austerity applied, but we've obviously had to review some of that because it started to impact on service delivery, because each person can only drive X amount of kilometers. And we know in our country there's some areas like the northern and some of the northern provinces where distances are far greater than kilometers workers were entitled to travel. Whilst we saved the money and Treasury was very complimentary, we also then had to look at the impact on service delivery and say, is this feasible? But you do need to do the job and you do need to reach the deep rural areas. But we were fortunate in that we negotiated with Treasury for the return of that savings so that we could invest it in various of our other projects, particularly the office improvement plan and the pay point plan. We give you the breakdown, Chairperson, which will take questions if you need it. And we give you a graphic to indicate the 89, which is the expenditure. The agencies, well, it says that the 5.2 was spent, it says that we saved 881 million, it says that the bulk of that was in contractors' disbursement of grant and what we were able to do there. And I think we are getting a balance, which is between our expenditure and cost drivers at the moment. We're in a better position with that than we were before. Compensation of employees, a saving on personnel. Now this is the situation where I arrived in May of that year. There was a list of critical posts. We had to do a review on whether they were critical, and I had to make a determination as the CEO that we want to rather look at operational posts first before we started with the management post. It was to get the service delivery improved on ground. So I tended to go for level 5 and 7 first before looking at the management, which resulted in the saving because obviously your management post costs more. But I feel it's made the kind of impact we are happier with on ground to have more level 5 and 7 to actually do the work. In terms of the goods and services, again, as I said, with the cash handling fees, and you can see it's 270 million, which is quite substantial. And then there was some reprioritization of what we call priority projects that led to savings, because by the time we had set our priority projects, we were already in July, so we would have lost the first quarter of spending, and those projects would run into the current financial year. In terms of the audit general, we're very pleased, Chairperson. We're always very excited when we get an unqualified opinion, but that should be normative behavior. Clean audit should be what we all should have. But it was important for us to work towards this end for ourselves and also for the Department of Social Development, where previously SASA had qualified them. The Auditor General had obviously looked, and there was a significant matter raised as a result of the payment tender.
it's not really a massive entity, it's more a significant uncertainty, because we can't quantify what will be the outcome of the court case, because currently at both the Constitutional Court and the Supreme Court of Appeal, and we will await further process in that regard. The audit outcome obviously raised certain exceptions and indicated certain areas that we would have to address. This has been made work of. We have a product based on the auditor's report on which we will deal with issues of the missing file correspondence and so on. I think we've made a vast improvement. They have a dashboard system within the AG's office, and when I arrived, we had what's called 11 red spaces on the dashboard. And towards the end, at the end of this audit, we actually were down to 3. So we had made a significant improvement, and they felt that that was in fact a good thing. That's in essence our annual report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation given to us by the CEO and congratulate her, because last time she said to us that she put her head on the block. She will make sure that she gets unqualified audit. At least she has made it, she has made us proud. Let me welcome that and thank you. CEO, prior to 2011, there were 5 missing in provinces. What is the policy grasp date on those 5 missing? My second question will be the building infrastructure. When we were doing some oversight, we were not happy about the infrastructure. What is it, the infrastructure improvement budgeted for now? And then the third question is what the agency is doing about the people receiving grants who are not from our country outside the borders. And then how the entity and so the internal audit is capacitated fully. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to join my colleague in appreciating the presentation by the CEO of the Parastata. My first question will be on the number of posts that are supposed to be there in the entity, which is 19,000, and currently we are operating with almost half of that. As we have indicated that 9,137 are funded. That doesn't this impact on service delivery? Because when you establish the 19,000 posts in your status establishment, you were quite aware that that's the number of people that would be needed to ensure that service delivery is there. Why then so few are funded? Then, taking that with the other one that says, on the post that you're supposed to fill, you only filled them during the last quarter. That surprises me. Why is that so? Because when you plan, when the year starts, the other should have been gone by that time, then you start the recruitment. If the recruitment happens on the last quarter, that means it has affected service delivery throughout the year, because that's the number of people we're expecting to part and parcel of you to ensure that you deliver efficiently. What's causing the delay? That one I really don't understand. Then the last one will be the understanding in conjunction with the target that we, with more targets that we have reached. I don't understand. Even the department is doing the same. Even the press secretary is doing the same. You target 7, end up reaching 20. Actually, it's 20. Within the same budget that you have budgeted for that particular 7, how does it come? There's something wrong in the budgeting. Because if you budget, you know very well that target, if you have targeted 7, this is going to be achieved with X amount. If then you reach more than that within the same X amount, it's not understandable. At the end of the day, you understand your budget. Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you, and thank you for the presentation. Just on the emphasis of matter on the AG's report with the tender, I know it's gone to court sub judice, but the fact is the previous judgment said the tender was illegal and invalid, which means there must have been something wrong with the precedent. For any magistrate or any court to find a tender to be illegal and invalid, I mean, it's quite an indictment, actually. So I think that we'll wait for the appeal to come through then. If the page aren't numbered, so I'll just want to talk to them. Oh, sorry, yeah. Again, just on the investigations into the fraud cases, etc., you said 5,414 people had an acknowledgement of debt, and you also said these are people without jobs, etc. So I take none of these people are public servants or SASA employees, etc. And if they are, can you, because I remember the previous minister, I was on the committee before, would not allow public servants or SASA or departmental officials to sign acknowledgement of debt. They went to the charges of fraud that they did. So just some clarity on that these are people outside of the public service. Then you also mentioned 1,048 internal fraud investigations were conducted. Is that 1,448, does that represent individual employees, or are you talking about multiple investigations against them? It's in individual investigations against 1,048 people. That means out of the 8,000 cops you have referred to, 1 in 8 is being investigated, which is quite hard. So could you just elaborate on that? And also, could you also inform us how the vetting process is done? Because if you remember last time we were here with the DG, I raised the issue about vetting. And I think what was discussed and decided was the people who are getting the applications, that the lower entry people will be vetted first, if they're the ones that are prone to fraud. Well, they could be. And I did see you vetting people in the police office in the paper last week. And now, were those two people vetted, for example, that were in the paper? No? Then just on the improvements of infrastructure at pay points, as you correctly said, you don't disperse grants. A service provider, either the new one or the previous one, doesn't matter. In their contract, aren't there minimum services that you provide at each pay point? Why are you upgrading pay points when they should be doing that pay contract? And also, in accordance with the new tender, that may or may not be valid, are there minimum standards set? And it's the obligation on them to receive pay points and not yourself. Then also on your infrastructure of your offices now, I mean, the Weinberg office, for example, just one, doesn't have wheelchair access. So by when will all your offices have access to the disability? It's vitally important. You want people to come and apply for disability grants, but they can't access your offices. Which, you know, sort of a Weinberg's Western case. No, not the same. Well, it's what it could be. Yeah, and then on... you talked about the, one of the pages, you talked about the social relief of distress grants and due hardship. Seth mentioned in the annual report how many people are receiving it. I don't know if that's a figure. I didn't see it, but maybe in the annual report, how many people are receiving it. But if you look at the August, have you seen the front page of about people queuing up overnight for this grant? Which is the front page of August. I wonder if you could give some background on what you're doing about that, because people have been camping out overnight in the cold, wanting this grant and being turned away at the end of the day, because they only provide 75 people with the grant per office, according to the office. So could you give us some explanation, and also, you know, what you intend to do to improve the humane way these people are being treated, because obviously desperate. That's why they're there to participate. And they're going to queue up all night, and they're going to wait there until they get some form of assistance. Simply because they want to feed their kids. So what are you doing about that? And not just in this particular instance, but throughout the country. How are you promoting it? And how do you structure when they get there? How many grants do you get today? Or what it is?
Thank you.
per month. Thank you, Chief Assistant.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would also like to thank Saha for the presentation and congratulations on receiving an unqualified for this year. My first question is that I just want to also ask on the infrastructural improvements, especially in rural areas. Can you be able to provide us with the names and the locations of where these improvements were made? This I'm asking because we are going to be going out to do our time. We also have to see that what you are telling us is exactly what you are doing. And a comment on the employee wellness program. If I'm not mistaken, you said the total number of employees are 8,487, but I see only 2,487 employees participating in the health clinic. Maybe just a comment to say that maybe you need to encourage them more to participate in this the program that's being provided for them. And lastly, I just want to know why the grant that if I can just be brief, what are the reasons or the lasting of the grant? Apart from, I know from the disability grant where a medical certificate is needed, and apart from the ones that were discovered when the re-registration was done that they were fraudulently granted, I just want to know if there's any other reason for the grant to be lasting. And just one last comment is that we had an oversight in and we had an official from SASA, from one of your districts, and it came out that there was a problem of duplicated IDs that SASA was experiencing, where they can't give the grant to the beneficiary because the person has got two IDs or something like that. I just want to know if there's any communication that you have with the Department of Home Affairs, and if you are receiving the assistance that you deserve, because I do not think it's fair for any beneficiary not to receive the benefit because of a mistake that we have found mostly was from the department side. So I just wanted to know that, because I was also not happy about the report that you gave us that there was a way of granting beneficiaries, you know, the benefits. What's the problem was being solved? I can't remember the term that she used, said there's a number that SASA can give to a person until the ID is received. For that, for me, that can encourage fraud. So that's what I'm not telling about. Thank you.
Sorry, sorry. Chairperson, I'm looking at total number of litigation cases per annum. The slide on litigation cases. Just some little teaching. I did ordinary arithmetic in the primary school, and I haven't done mathematics. Now, when I look at this, I find some difficulties in understanding what is going on there. You have, for example, head office. I have figures from year to year, and I have the total. The first one, my arithmetic is correct. The last one, Western Cape, my arithmetic is also correct. It means I learned correctly. But with the rest, my arithmetic fails me. I don't understand what is happening there. You look at, for example, how you had 61 cases in 2008-09. And then you have one case in 2011-2012, but the total is 116. So it's just maybe the dashes mean something, because I see some dashes there now, because I haven't done mathematics, I don't know what that dash means. Thank you.
Active aging. I'm looking at it because you are very alert. Any other members?
Your question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add one. I really appreciate the improvement that has been made on shelters for the aged and the erection of new tents. But my worry is that those who carry a night before and tent them, where do you shelter them? Because you are indicating that in some cases that tents that are there. Because sometimes they say they should go to the call. Is there any plan to accommodate them well?
Chairperson, my last question was, did you know, you didn't tell us about the vacancy rate, and I think we have in the agency, and that does not affect the service delivery. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? The fact that you haven't reached your targets when it comes to non beneficial. The target was 15 million, but with non beneficial, 774. So you reached just 15.5 million beneficial. Many of the things is the ground is actually very small in terms of that. You have, obviously, as you said, your rovers decline until the final moment. If you look at your browsing aid, to me that was problem is not hasn't reached its potential machine. I would like to know in terms of the communication as agency manager.
tribal people about the documents that it's also about adding value and adding to the future of life of our society. So how are you doing in terms of improving the communication strategy in Shasha itself? I think that is very important. It's not this because we don't have the information trust. Over to you, Sia.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm going to start working my way from the back and pull on my team at different points to assist me.
My apologies for coming in late, firstly. I think the issue of the grant and aid is some sort of a... But before I move on to that, I was quite amazed recently when I actually paid a visit to the local police station and wanted to have some affidavit signed. And I see a huge queue, you know, outside the police station, and I was quite curious. And I actually inquired as to what is actually happening here, you know. There were elderly folks, and there were a long queue, and I inquired the officer, but why isn't there any seating arrangements? And then he indicated to me that, you see, this is the influx of people that come from the dense rural area who have come to declare in an affidavit form that they were in receipt of fraudulent grant. So there is something that is happening correct. And all of these people now are coming up to the forefront to declare that they were in receipt of this money. And that leads me to ask the question, in view of that particular budget that was aligned and all those ghost and fraudulent grants that were paid out, what is going to be happening with that budget, that money? How is that going to be driven? So the other one is the issue of the granting aid. Now, during the oversight, it has come to my attention that certain areas were not actually administering this particular granting aid simply because of challenges, that they did not have a, what do you say, you don't have, the tender was not awarded, and therefore monies were not paid out in particular areas. I'm referring to areas in KwaZulu-Natal. Here you cover the fraud and corruption, and there is some light of the investigations that have been adhered to. But it would be quite interesting to know if anyone has been perhaps charged in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act, you know, in view of fraud and corruption within the staff at any centre. Thank you, Jen. Thank you for the interview. Yes. Fine. Sorry. Finance.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to start working from last question. I'll ask Mr. Oldsby to grant an aid very quickly. I'm going to say why people are at police stations. When I do my re-reg input, it will become apparent. If you'll do grant an aid, please grant quickly.
The issue of granting aid, we know the uptake is very slow in terms of that regard, but it's also a grant that is very unpopular, but also really riddled with corruption. And when we market the grant, very often we find that people do qualify for it and they claim to be really bitter. Because you need to understand what makes you qualify for grant. The person's got to be requiring 24-hour care, and they've got to be looked after by some people. Very often when the award is given to some of these people, you find that they are in fact not qualifying that regard. And in most provinces, we would do the marketing of the grant, but very few people would really apply for it. But there is that high percentage of where people attempt to defraud government by wanting to apply for those. But we continue to market it. When we have our outreach programs in different areas, we tell people about it, and with the hope that people would come forward and qualify. But I think we'll just continue to our efforts. But we must guard the fact that this is a grant that's subject to a whole lot of fraud, in that most people don't really qualify because they are not, in essence, bedridden. Can I just then, you want me to deal with the rest?
In terms of the questions with regard to the visit in East London, our East London regional office, which was an occupational health and safety issue for us, we have managed to relocate
into another area of East London. We are still in the process of wiring it and getting it sorted out, so we've made the move check. I think in terms of the other areas like Elliot and some other of the areas, we have looked at the position of whether we go from transfer homes, the park home system, to leasing. I'm even asking our staff to lease if council has available two houses close to community. So we've changed our process, our strategy in terms of office accommodation. Because we looked at the cost implications of a park home versus actually building a structure. Initially with Public Works, because that's our main agent, we've also had to look at possibly having an additional relationship other than Public Works. Because Public Works goes out and looks for leased space on our behalf. In some of the areas, I can say quite safely, we've gone to offices. I know in one area we visited, we moved to the old library, which I hope that is exactly like the staff will look and see that I'm actually going to investigate because it was on the list for last year. I think what we should provide is the entire list to the committee. We will email the list of the 75 plus the 300 upgrades on pain points to the committee secretariat, the whole list. I think then it would be easier when committee members go back to obviously also do monitoring in that way. I do want to speak to a target for three phase, the three-step approach versus the four-step approach. ASTA needs to become fully automated. That means we need an end-to-end solution in terms from payment, from application to payment, to achieve that outcome. Now, there was a product developed for us in the free state, so that was the anchor model. We obviously have to stress test it before we can roll it out. So there was a sense that we could take this model beyond the free state and the varied model in the Eastern Cape. Right now, there is a company called Notion in SACA determining the strength of the product to roll it out. So I can only give a forecast of the countrywide rollout after they come back with their final report on that chair, and I'd be quite happy to share that when it does come to our attention. In terms of the vacancy rate as come up, just to say that the vacancy, as I said before, the stock establishment pre-SACA inception, as it was in 2006, so the Act came out in 2004, said that SACA would be 100% compliant with its mandate. So we have started to take on applications, do the administration, and pay out the grant. That's how the 19,000 was evolved. When SACA then started, it carried on with the process of contracted payout agents. Now those agents are paid at the moment, it's 16 rand. They are paid, and they have staff who are doing what SACA could be doing when these contracts end. And then we have to pick up from that number. So the plan for staff and the as-is reality is that SACA contracts out half of its work at the moment. And when that changes, our vacancy rate will change. Therefore, Treasury will not give us 100% funding until we complete the mandate 100%. The Treasury will always handle, they fought with me for the 1,400 folks I appointed during this year, even though it was at the end of the financial year, and I will speak to that. Because they said, you're growing it fast. And I said, no, this is in terms of the service delivery demand and need plan. And that's how we're growing it. Just to give an idea of why people only came in last quarter when we're talking about that, Chairperson. We advertised the post, and what, because of the high rate of unemployment in the country, the response to those posts were thousands and thousands. In the end, it took us process time. I had asked that people come in by December, although we started the process late because I only arrived in the organization in May, and so we had only agreed on the post value in July. There were literally hundreds of thousands of applications we had to go through in because of the high level of unemployment. And this will happen to us again. You would have literally, I think in the Western Cape, 100,000 applications for something 25 jobs. And then you have to weigh up whether you're going to get a contracted agent because you're not built to manage that amount in one go. And it's not fair to take on staff just for 8 years when you know that period will end. because you won't get sufficient. So it meant that we had to literally slow down the process and also get help for the process, for the lifting of the process. We need to treat applicants still. So that is why instead of coming in December, they literally came in February. So that year's money was saved. We are looking to see how we do this next release of process. We manage the Treasury to agree on certain numbers by giving back some of the money we save. And it will take, it will also be the same. It's going to come in a lot. So it will be November. That's unfortunately the way it is. We hope to have a debut in the following year, not even this year. In terms of people sleepovers, technically there should not be a need anymore for sleepovers in our business. At Starcoast, you know, we've gone out to areas and chatted in and slept over with the sleepovers to find out what happens at the sleepover. Some of it is a social network that has continued to happen. Some Google say they want their money right up time, first thing in the morning, start their business. By 12 o'clock that day, they might, and it pains me. It really pains. Other days, the queues are too long, and they want to be in the front of the queue. We say to them, because of the process of payment is so much faster, they don't have to. It literally, book is safe. There's fire gate. We must look at what is the feasibility for us to actually put up structures enough when we really not. There are hazards for that. I mean, if we put up a tent and people light fires, and man, I'm going to have more problems in that direction. It is not right. We don't support it. We've gone out, we've asked the questions, we've sat with our people, and some of them just say, this is the way they're doing it. So some send their children to queue for them, and then they come in the morning. I'm actually happier with that arrangement. Not really happy that they're small children, but young adults, because of the risk and vulnerability. But there should not be a reason anymore to do that. But there is also a certain thing that happens in paper. I can't just close down a table. There's a certain event that happens at the table. Something in helping you go. There's a care meeting in the morning. There's all the shopping that needs to be done. There's a lot of atmosphere in the table. Not despite the micro lenders, that's the negative outside. And we need to put more parameters in the table. But more and more, I want to reassure this committee, there should be less and less need for good. The process time is far faster. As they get more SACA cards, which will be in re-registration, they should just be able to go into the safe of choice that they want to get their money, get it, and leave. Whether it's an ATM, whether it's a boxer, whether it is a merchant, whether it is a paper. It is quite costly they have the new card. It's a very good process. But as we roll out this process, we will still have it. But we really would like to discourage it. Oh, the chairperson's body was an issue she raised about the communication strategy, which I did not return to. Safe to say that we will have to increase our communication spend. I think that has been a bit coy because of the automatic response of citizens to come for their benefits, that it hasn't gone out on an all-out communications drive and be looking at that. Because the under-recovery, as I would ask, where's the area where we're under-recovering? I'd say the children in the CSG product in the minus one, the first year of life. We believe that the first 1,000 days is the most important in the child's life, from the stage of pregnancy to 2 years. And we don't see the numbers. There's a million births in this country and 900,000 is at public hospitals. Then we should, and if people are saying people are young women are getting pregnant to get 280, we should see a far greater number than we are seeing and you're not. That is the area where we have a loose number in terms of what is determined to be the target size. So that is not the purpose in thinking. But we will again strengthen our communication strategy to reach out to the baby, moms and the baby, because that area is a low recoverable number at the moment. Improvement of shelters, I've spoken to that. Draft figures in legal, could you speak to that?
The figures are not actually from us. In advocacy, we omitted to mention that we did not put the figure for 2006, 7, and 7 and 8.
Okay. Because they're not
60 and they don't have a disability, and their children are over 18 and they are desperate. We've also found that some people have been herded to certain offices more than others. And I don't know how that works in that people, because I feel that when people have a sense of hopelessness, that you should not be playing with them more than trying to assist where possible. Obviously, we have a budget allocated through DSP for SRG. If I had to give every single person at the door that budget for the last 1 month, just 1 month, the SRG budget. And that is the reality. So, we have 9 provinces. We have to work out a budget. We have to be clear in what is the focus. For us, the focus has been, because lots of the people who are queuing in that queue there in Cape Town do not qualify. They do not qualify. And that's a sad reality. And we're not even sure why, because we haven't put out, and I've been saying as a result of that, I've put out an aggressive communication strategy to make it quite clear what SRG is about. Some people have already had the 3 months at another office, and they think by going to another office, they will get another 3 months.
Mm.
And if I was a mother and I couldn't see my children, I would do the same. But that, in fact, is the reality at the moment. We say SRG at that level is for 3 months. And then when the 3 months is up, those parents have nowhere to turn. And they thought if they go from one office to the other, they would be entitled to get on the system. But because it is a computerized system, when we punch in the ID, it will come up that you lost SRG was just the month or 6 weeks ago. We cannot put you back into the system. So that is part of our current problem. We've been trying to address it by going to the office and saying, you know, could you at least give these people something? But you must understand that for budgeting needs, we can't then try and give a reduced food parcel. We have to work with the NGO sector in order to refer some of our people. But there is a great need out there. I think we have to be real in every single province that I've seen. Our focus in SRG, besides looking at disaster incidents, is also looking at malnutrition in our children. The minister has been quite clear that we've looked at the policy direction where children are malnourished that we would provide for a period of 2 to 6 months SRG to bring that. We found children in many of our areas where we're trying to achieve our MDGs with the great malnutrition in our country. So there are issues that demand a policy redirect in understanding how we dispense this money. So the 75 was the initial target per month per office. We've obviously in the process of reviewing, but also speaking to DSD to try and shift some of our resources currently, where we see savings are coming within program towards SRG money. But if we do it this year and it grows too much, we will have a problem with treasury, because we've got to keep it within certain bounds. Because if we open that floodgate, literally, there would be an absolute unsustainable response. And we would then give it for a few months and then not be in a position at all to help people who then are in dire need and in hardship later on in the year. We continue to watch. We will look at communicating far better in this regard and try to be humane in our referral of our people. In terms of disability assets, as we have heard from Tami, that our new program has put into the program, particularly a surgery for the doctors, the ramping. I will look and pay an unannounced visit to Wonder to see what plans they have implemented, because they were on the list very definitely. In terms of our contract with CPS, and I have a good legal person next to me, we decided that in this cost, members will recall, we paid up to almost 36 rand for transactional cost to pay our pension per month. We reduced that under 16%. We said, what is the core business of the service provider? And we said it is to pay pension. There was a basis of infrastructure, and we decided as we move to not having a service provider in the future, we would continue to need the areas of pensions of paid now paid for, that we would take that as our responsibility as government. So it is not, in terms of So the standards within the contract, very definitely,
we do.
As for the word illegal and invalid, that is the reason for the appeal.
We don't support the view, but we obviously will never undermine the justice system. We will use the justice system to say this is our opinion of that matter. In terms of the cases, probably the 1,048, the arrest in Tembisa was 94 cases, and there were X amount of people. So if you look at cases per individual, it's about how many cases filed.
Thank you, CEO. The 1,408 cases investigated internally doesn't necessarily mean that the SASA official to investigate it, but it's investigations that were conducted by SASA investigators.
Mm-hmm.
Of those people, only 37 were public servants that were involved in social crime court in that financial year. And there was a question about the 5,414 people who signed the acknowledgement of debt. Yes, this does include public servants, and as a rule, public servants will pay back their grant with interest, of course. But we are considering looking at other people who do not necessarily have the need to pay it back and try to find a way of dealing with it. But public servants, as a rule, will definitely pay back the money.
CEO, do you also want me to respond to that?
In terms of the vetting, one of the critical issues we've looked at is that we started to vet staff coming in, but we have a base of staff that have come with SASA. So the vetting for the new ones has been working well, but we have to go back and vet all the staff. So we had to look at the process of procuring support, which we've been talking to SSA, the State Security Agency, in assisting us, and I must say that it's been very slow. As a result of that, I decided that I had to go and buy some services because I want us, by the end of this financial year, to be in a better position on all the staff, not just the new staff. The biometric enrollment, the tender is currently being adjudicated. So after you re-registration, we'll also do biometric enrollment of staff. So that will mean that we will lose the password issue that has created losses of fraud. They told me by January next year the biometric enrollment will stop. That will position us, I think it will be the greatest risk reductor that SASA has engaged in its history. So that means every staff member, whether they touch Oracle, which is our financial system, or the SOC10 system, their biometric identification will be there and know exactly who did what minute, what second. I'm saying our automated intelligence will grow in SASA. That will really help us significantly and reduce fraud. In terms of transactional costs and the saving, there was a saving of 800 million. But I think we need to understand this in what austerity had done. But I further introduced different ways of doing business, reducing transactional costs. Yes, we still came to Cajun, but we did not travel business. We changed the way. We decided to lower the type of cars we used. This was a bit of a struggle, but I think we've all learned to cope now that we don't need to be defined by the class to travel in the plane, not as public service. And that has saved us money as well. Avis all got less, but we still need the same meetings that we did every year. You were trying to say, why do you do more, and yet you are saving. So it is the transactional cost. The cost to do business has decreased by our own hands in order to make the savings. Because we need to have a real and a zero-rated budget that makes us understand what is the cost factor to operate. What does it cost the taxpayer for us to pay out a grant, and how can we do that more efficiently in the future? So yes, you will see more delivery with less money in the future, and I plan to do even more of that in the future, ma'am. You spoke about the post. I explained the 8,000 versus the 19,000. Internal audit, yes. Internal audit has not had the number of staff it required over the years. With my current issues of trying to clean the organization, so to say. We've actually decided in the short term to buy in expertise and to also work with the Department of Social Development, because they are also having certain strategies that run alongside that to see before you appoint more people. it's first to see what is required. So for this short period, because of the amount of compliance issues as we go through re-reg, we have brought in a company's expertise until the end of the year. Once we are clear that we've done that, we'll decide how many staff we really need. Because we don't want to blow pressure on one end when we've still got to take over the payment for the future. So the restructuring and re-engineering is a very active process in SASA. The foreign nationals receive money. Well, they're foreign nationals who are entitled, and then there are people who live across the borders. At the moment, we can see on our system, 400 people are drawing money outside the borders of South Africa. 400. I feel that SASA now can actually see what's happening. I feel that our boardroom should have the live stream as from midnight. We can even see how many people draw at 12:05. And I'm sure they're not all Google. But you can see the money being drawn at different ATMs. So there's a lot of activity that we are now aware of. We do have a program dealing with the cross-border area together with Home Affairs SSA. We also have presented to the Cabinet Committee. There is a sense that we need to lift this project a little because there are people with the same surname, with an ID for South African, an ID for whether it's Lesotho, Swaziland. So dual citizenship, in fact, is a reality, particularly on the border area, we have found. It's very difficult for a staff member to say that Dlamini from Swaziland and Dlamini from across the place, not the same clan, South African clan. We struggle, we stand with chief, we ask the affidavit, but this is our reality, particularly on the border town. We have what's called service tourism, where people come across, those we can see coming across once a month, they come to collect rent at the RGDRs, go to the doctor, hospital, turn by the pension bad point and they go back. And some of them say they are from this side of the border and they have a green barcode ID. So we will continue this investigation together with all state agencies, including international relations, because we have to understand what's going there. But at the moment I can see the 400, more than 400 people joining in other parts of Africa, not necessarily South Africa. We made this all investigation, so it's part of the ongoing investigation. There's anomalies to the tune of 150,000 cases currently that we are looking at. And these aren't frauds, these are just anomalies that we're tracking to see what's going on. The missing files, would someone speak to that, please?
Can I just probably maybe add on the issue around the foreigners? There's also this distinction that we need to make around the who qualifies for a grant. There are two type of categories that you have: people who they call refugees, and in terms of South African legislation, they qualify for grants in terms of the social development. And they, of course, they are what we call asylum seekers. Now, asylum seekers would not qualify. Now, South Africa has got a fair number of asylum seekers, and it has a fair number of refugees. And I think we provide for those refugees, and I think it must be understood is that, particularly from a community point of view, is that communities need to know that these people will qualify, they are refugees, and they meet the necessary criteria, because at the moment, SASA pays about 765 grants to refugees. There are legal that have got refugee status in the country, and they are entitled to it by laws of the South African government. So we don't pay asylum seekers. So that distinguish we must really make between the two categories. And really, in this sense, not sort of count them as all foreign nationals, because a lot of them would qualify. And I think Treasury's made provision to provide money to be able to accommodate the uptake of those grants. As far as the missing files, we've made an intervention in terms of our MIA solution by improving some technical improvements in the last quarter, where if a file was and isn't processed, we'd be able to take 6 weeks for us to capture that file into our warehouse. We've reduced that time from 6 weeks to 1 week, with the result that it would then tell us whether a file is physically missing or not. At most times, the file was really not missing, but in essence, just waiting to be captured in itself. We've also improved on our monitoring process of our local offices, where we'd go in, search drawers, search wardrobes, and encourage them to send those files to the local offices. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be safe to assume that by the end of this quarter, before we go into the last quarter, we know what our total number of files that are genuinely missing. And I think after the re-registration, we would then attempt to reconstruct those files through the review process, which is one of our targets in the last quarter of recognition land. So I think we've done a lot of work in that regard. We would be more than confident to know that we've reduced the number of missing files to a large degree. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Nothing.
Yeah, I think just the issue around communication and what will happen. Obviously, we'll ask the question from recovery of money. How you believe that what will happen?
I just wanted Lucy just to explain to the member over there about the years that were not added in her legal the gap because the member of the session was not. Is that okay?
Let's see. Oh. We have, we were supposed to have Frank explain that we did not include litigation statistics for the year 2007 and the year 2007 and 2008. So we just took the numbers and wrote them, but without a thing that we omitted to include in.
What Honorable Nyako also said was
the topic of the military.
Personally, I acknowledge the error. The error was the totals are supposed to end from 2007, 2008, and 2000. So this are the totals from the agreement of class. So the issue will be asked. In terms of the impact of savings, Chair, you were talking about that. I think the savings opened us up to work with the future improvements of SASA, the corporate image of SASA, but also to serve our people far better, to change the beneficiary experience of our people. So in fact, in our conversations with Treasury, we've been able to upgrade more offices as a result of the savings made in that year. Whatever savings are made through our renew process and registration, that's the conversation with DSD and Treasury. That's all that money can be. Communication, this has been, I think, a struggle with how we communicate. I think just putting in a quarter page thing in the newspaper doesn't always get the attention we want. It's also different newspapers and the different radio things that we have to use because our customers listen to radio still the most. They watch television. But certain printed media, they are not reading. So we have to weigh up how to do it. But our customers also like the face-to-face group discussion in community through community structures. So our communication strategy has to take on board a wide variety of sources, but who are you talking to at what time? For example, when I communicate towards the end of the year, I will speak to people in the bank. Their money goes to the bank and explain to them about re-registration. I could use babies quite happily. I could use radio stations and get the message through. But sometimes the community radio station should be our target. Community newspapers should be our target. Also, the kind of language we speak needs to be reduced in colloquial. And for example, if I use the word merchant, it's fine to use it everywhere else except in Cape Town. With a merchant in Cape Town, drug dealer. So I've had to say to the staff, you must find the word you're encouraging people to go to a merchant. It's all right everywhere else. It's a third-party payment contractor. That's the real word name for it. But here, we'd have to say something else. So we're having to work on that right now.
We're thinking of APS assistance because we have a very small team and it's more of a reaction to communications than proactive communications. So I think in the last two, we will be spending a lot more time on the communication strategy. Thank you, Chairperson. I thank you for the opportunity for us to come and present you with the progress made on the re-registration, which has been core business overdrive for 2012. Literally that. It has, in some days, caused a lot of pain in our organization, but we know it's the right thing to do. So we will go straight to the progress. The National Social Grant payment system was implemented in three phases. Phase one, obviously, with a new payment contract coming, was to change all the sector Lula cards and provide a temporary SASA card. And you will see 947,000 previously sector Lula, previously all pay people from the Eastern Cape South, different in the Eastern Cape, North, or Mid, pre-sex housing Western Cape, were biometrically registered onto the temporary SASA card. Phase two, which entails the temporary registration of cash payout beneficiaries, previously of Emelmany and Orba in pre-sex housing Western Cape and Eastern Cape South, a total of 1.5 million beneficiaries were registered. That was particularly during April, and it was very hard April because there was a complete changeover onto a live system of capturing. Phase 3 then commenced in June, where the aim is to do all the populace with 10 fingerprints, photographs, and where applicable voice. And where we are right now, well, where we are as of the 22nd of October, was 5 million people have been registered biometrically by capturing their fingerprints and their photographs. This obviously has become critical for us. I know it's caused some burden in communities where the payout venue is small to get all of them, and particularly where people are paid over 3 days. I also want to say to you that the SASA card is now sought after issue. Why is it sought after? Because instead of waiting up to 3 weeks before you can go get your money, you can get your money at 5 or 12 on the 1st. Using your card, you don't have to wait for your date in an hour. And that's why people are just rushing some of our points to try and get it. Of the 5.8 cash beneficiaries, 2.2 million have been temporarily registered. And so the 2.5 million have been registered with core biometrics. A further 3.2 previously paid in terms of old CPF must also register. Oh. People want to think that the old CPF product is the new CPF product. It is entirely different. So we can't literally pay you off an old CPF card. You need a new SASA card to be able to enjoy the change in beneficiary experience. And that's what we're doing and rolling out every day. We're currently doing out to almost 100,000 per day. 100,000 people in this country are coming to different sites and doing enrollment, re-registration as it's colloquially known. 42% of the cash beneficiaries, children and procurators have registered with full biometrics. Of the 3.7 bank beneficiaries, we started with Postbank first. 220,000 of the Postbank beneficiaries have re-registered with full biometrics. We obviously anticipate to complete this process by the 31st of March 2013, but we won't lack grants straight away. I think we need to make this clear. Because we'll do what's called the final sweep on the areas. Where we started in April, we will go back to those districts again and just do another sweep. Because it could have been a Gorgo not there, a Gorgo visiting her child, she didn't hear about being there for her point. So we will do that for administrative justice. So the back office work will be quite extensive as from the end of the financial year. Voice print and fingerprint biometric verification is utilized to provide proof of life. This literally means on a monthly basis we'll be able to know exactly the paying a live person. That's the first thing. That is what we want to achieve. It will reduce fraud because we'll know that the right person is getting the right card. The payment solution offers beneficiary a variety of payment gateways such as ATM, merchants, the word again, third-party contractors, and cash points.
beneficiaries now have the ability to access their source grants from 80 merchant stores like Pick n Pay, Boxer, ShopRite, and dedicated pay points are no longer confined to specific paydays. Almost 60% of the cash beneficiaries have migrated from pay points and have a preference to receive their social grants at their convenient merchant stores. In addition to the increased payment gateways, beneficiaries have also used increased payment channels to access their social grants within the first 7 days of the month. So you can already see the change in beneficiary behavior, where it used to take a full 3 weeks. We see, in fact, there's more than almost 2 million on the first going through. So we can really see the change. We can also see the change in behavior in the different stores, that more cash needs to be available, you know, Pick n Pay, Checker Shop, Right Boxes, than before on the first. We also see a heightened activity on network, Celsius, all the Vodacom, MTN on that day. Bank service particularly busy. So there's a lot more happening within the economy in the first 7 days now in the country. We did want to change the beneficiary experience, so we consciously aware in our conversation with the Reserve Bank, the changes in the approach to our work. As from January 2013, beneficiaries will receive their social grant on the third day, or, because we're not yet there, we haven't done the full database, the 15.5 million grant, therefore some people are still waiting on their date. But as we go through this process, it is hoped that by 1st of April, everybody will have this done. On the page 8, Chairperson, I give a breakdown of where we registration in terms of the provincial numbers that we've done thus far. Then we come to page 9, which speaks of voluntary cancellation. This was asked earlier by a member behind me about people queuing up at police stations. One of the key areas of cancellation is what we call the imbombozi, where children had been presented more than once for a grant, for a child support grant, by someone else. So people had come with the child and registered the child as their child and got the application for the 280. And someone else had taken that same child and come there and presented the child with a birth certificate, in many cases fraudulently acquired. And we now see that in certain areas across the country, more areas, certain areas in the Eastern Cape, KZN, where voluntary cancellations are as a result of the child's death. Now, to me, was the child ever alive is where we should start. So we need to go back to Home Affairs and run the data. So all of these matters have become investigations. That's why investigations are quadrupled at the speed of all these things. Usually voluntary cancellation could mean a range of things, but in this instance in re-registration it's mainly about the child if it existed for someone else's child, and now we're giving you back your grant. We don't want any. So what they're going to police to report the child as being deceased, they're going to Home Affairs to report the child as being deceased, calling up all government systems, but we've got to see where the fraud is in it. We cannot accept a voluntary cancellation. We actually have to track it. Behind some of it is fraud. We believe that as we get to the banking part of re-registration, we might see something. Because this would be another one. On page 10, we say grants lapse due to non-compliance. Obviously, the regular issue is that people should come in and start a change of things, and there's the usual 10-3 disability, etc., and Frank has spoken to that in the question, but just to say there's a total already of 32,000 in that. So we see that our projection would not be what we forecasted if the new age is fully finalized. There'll be less CSG possibly than when we started in April this year because of the re-registration. He's saying it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the taxpayer. It's a good thing for the data verification process within SASSA to really be sure that the database of claims is the correct one. IDs, duplicate IDs, this was raised. There are 481 duplicate IDs currently detected through the re-reg process on page 11. And we can say exactly where they are. These are all conversations with Home Affairs consistently to resolve this issue. Incomplete registration, there's 151 out of the initial number. That
the registrations were not completed, these one or two elements not in the database, and we would have to go back on what I call a second round sweep to the areas to try and finalize. Replacement cards. This is something we're starting to detect that's a growing phenomenon. People would get a SAFA card, come back to us and say, the lot is a SAFA card. We also suspect that the SAFA card is with the microlender, with the ID. And we didn't charge in the beginning because, we were trying to understand. But we started to say there must be caps and limits. Because we need to get to the real deal. That's why. One beneficiary from 12 pounds for the place in X amount, and that's all. We've got to actually say we will not accept it. So looking at the process of educating our beneficiaries, that's what we need, a communication strategy, that this is your card, it's not your boyfriend's card, it's not the loan shark's card, you've got to keep it with your ID. There will be a campaign to educate beneficiaries on that card and the significance of it. And just, exactly who parts of the system. Also, the name is not on it. There's specific numbers and assigned to specific people and ID numbers. We know exactly who part it is. That's called automated intelligence. So that's replacement time. Then in terms of, here again, oh, it's 354 vanilla. I thought it was 400, but maybe I've got the latest data and you haven't. This is just called joining. Our social assistance system says you've got to be in South Africa to get a pension. And so if you join outside, we would have to look at it. It's very interesting how far people are joining their pensions in which country.
Who is the link?
Just in, we're an international marketing brand at the moment. And so these are all investigations now. Because we have to see, is the person in fact of African, is the person living in the country, is the person working? And are they entitled then if they're working in another country? Should they be on our system at all? You'll see some of the anticipated countries listed to Mozambique and obviously Swaziland, where we did expect more activity than anywhere else. And we will continue our investigation. Chairperson, if I get you on the closing, currently there's 7,400 for the voluntary that we're investigating. There's 32 grants that are left. All of these are happening. 354 VC grants. Also, these are all investigations. The one is to many match. This is the system we run. The point is you have 10 fingerprints, you have to run it against the system, run it against our affairs, and we run it against the actual country database, literally, of our own population within SAFA. 481 are duplicates. I mean, we should obviously deal with that. We can say that literally by 1 o'clock, 23,000 people have drawn money already at a.m. in the morning, and we need to follow that up. Micro-lending challenge, whilst I've set up a task team and looking into micro-lending acting with benefit schemes, this is a challenge in one, because our people have in many instances gone and taken out a funeral benefit and a loan of the same bank with the same company. It makes it difficult to leave this matter, but we're working on it. Where the micro-lending is illegal, we're having them arrested straight away. We've spoken about the retention of cards and card issues, the replacement. Because this is a new, if cards is an expensive card, we need to start charging when people come after the third time to say, we need to be clear. Otherwise, there will be a lot of cards in the market and we won't have the kind of attention. I think the one challenge at the moment is the overcrowding at our re-registration site. More people are coming despite communications, loud hailing, speaking to counselors, because they want to come. If you stay 3 days in an area at the same community hall, you'll find the first day. I mean, it is chaotic. Even I have to say that. There's so many people come. I said to the staff, hire toilets. Please make sure there's fruit, water, and juice for people. Keep the sugar levels up. Because we have to get through the process. One of the larger processes undertaken in this country. We need to do it. It will yield results, but it can't be a pain to our customers. So every day we're trying to improve our response. Because it's a live capturing system, there are systems going down in some areas at times. There are some areas, particularly in the rural areas, where accessibility through the different telephone companies isn't as good as it should be. So it's MTN, Cell C, or Voda. We then have to go to a staff situation where we then know the information but not why, and then we have to do it later. So we come up with plans to deal with it, otherwise we make people wait while we're dealing with our problems. So we really try to look at how to get people re-registered with less overcrowding. We currently, areas particularly KZN, we've had lots of problems with Limpopo. We're working on a ticketing system at the moment. Literally handing out tickets so people can know where they are in the line. We've also made sure that their children were coming. And this has been very strong on this. Children may not be out of school to re-register. We will re-register on Saturdays and school holidays. We are literally now seen to be quite nasty. So we're saying to the mother, why have you brought your child? We said, not the child. You have to take the child to school. They'll come back in the afternoon. But we've spoken to education, to put messages through the education department to say where people are on the ground, please encourage them not to bring their child for re-registration and rather deal with it in the holiday weekend. Jeff, and that's just a short update on the re-reg process. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. Chairperson, it was a nice presentation. Nice presentation, especially the regional system. But our presentation is short. Some is not here. And imported tokens, imported features, like the one that it shows the those who are going outside the country, it is not here. I don't know why, because I think we have also to tell the people outside there that these are the people that are going outside the countries. So this presentation is not the presentation that to us. We really need that page, not later than today. Yes, thank you, Chair. Also, this issue of taking off penalty and those who lost their cars. Indeed, you can't have the person just keep on coming and want the card 12 times. But also we have to mind that who are we dealing with? We are dealing with the old patient and people here and the disabled one. Some they are mentally disturbed. So, and we always said the old people money must not taken by anyone in any cost. So, I think also the department should, the SASA must look around that, because really we are dealing with those old. I'm staying with my grandmother. It's always pocket. It's always pocket. So, if you keep on telling that, these people really, you must always have a jumbo, because you penalize them every day. So I think we have to mind that where are we dealing with, and then we get the flexibility on that. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by apologizing. I did phone the Chair. She's away while I'm late. Let me start, because I wasn't here when we were doing the first presentation, but I do want to apologize to the members, but I will be taking them back. But there are two issues. There are asylum seekers. When we talk about people that are getting money from outside, are different to asylum seekers, because asylum seekers are inside the country, and you know that it's by law they get the money. But I just want to make sure that we do understand the difference between the asylum seekers and people that are getting money from outside the country. And again, I want to make a comment that says it's very shocking to hear that there are even countries that are involved in schools that are paid outside countries like Singapore. And there was the issue around the investigators. The SIU, this committee identified challenges around SIU, and I'm not quite sure whether you did talk about it, but I do want to say, if you have people that are inside the committee that are doing the investigation, do we have people that are specifically doing this job of investigation? Because I remember you said you decided as the social development department to do this yourself, but I asked my colleague next to me. She said she's not sure whether the ICU is still assisting. SIU is still assisting. No. Is it SIU? I'm right. Why are you confused? SIU. Yeah. The last one, Chair, is around the... Okay. Page 12. It said incomplete registration. I do want to say, could we say rather, because we're still, you know, talking about not the registration, the new registration. Otherwise, it might confuse me. It's, when you say incomplete registration, it's like you're talking about new people, but it's a re-registration. The last one, your chair, is gone now. Maybe.
Thank you. Is it me?
But, yes, I'm sorry. Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you once again for the presentation of the registration process. I just want to start with the first background. I heard that the presenter was talking about the fact that some of the kids are dead. The beneficiaries have come forward now to say the child is dead. And don't you actually know if the child was actually there even before? Now the thing is, in home affairs, there's a problem where there is still birth that is not registered. Because this beneficiary that gives birth at home in rural areas especially, and they never bother to go and register a birth. And they have been with the Amakhosi, local traditional leader. And when a child is dead, all that happens, just the right is given that a child must be buried there. There's no documentation that is there. I do not know how this is going to happen, because it's not only the problem in social development, it's the problem all the time affairs. And I'm happy to hear that with the duplicate, the beneficiaries have to bring the child in and they re-register for the child to be retaking their fields to something so that they can't use the same child for another benefit. I'm really happy. I hope this is going to happen, because I know of cases, and again, in cases, and where people are still getting their the grant when the child, you know that the person does not have a child, but the person is receiving a grant, and actually ask us whether the child is alive, or whether the child is there, or whether the child is an aunt or sister child. You don't know what is happening. I'm really happy if you are doing the registration like this. And for the people receiving grants outside the border, it's the same problem as the ID, South African ID. Because if you go to areas like Umkhanyakude, you have Mozambique on the border. You have people living in Umkhanyakude and also having a house across the border. In the morning, he goes and waters his garden across the border, comes back and sleeps beside. So it's a serious problem. Because when these people are being questioned, why do you just walk in and out? Because they actually just walk out and walk back in. Nobody's asking them anything. And they will tell you, I have a house beside, and my chief is goes there. I'm under him, and I have a place again on the other side. So what do you want me to do? So it is a real, real, real problem. With a grant, as long as ID is still granted to those people, those people are still going to apply for the grant. So I don't know
and
what is going to happen here. Because as long as we still get our green books, they are going to apply for the grant. And a replacement card, I fully agree with you that these people must be charged now. Because you can't reissue a card so many times. Because I want to say right here that these cards are taken by the loan shark. And that is why they keep coming to apply for new cards. And as soon as the charge is implemented, you will see the replacement is going to go down. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a small comment. I would just want to get a small comment on voice print, something very foreign to me. I understand the print, the fingerprint, the voice, the print, it's a little abstract. So can I just get a comment on how it works and so on? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. You mentioned, I see that where microlenders are illegal, you've had them arrested. Can you give us some indication of how many? And then the cost of the replacement of the card, just so we have an idea. And then lastly, about the people who received the beneficiaries by the bank, not the first bank. When will you be rolling the rest of the campaign out, and by what date do you expect? Because I get quite a few calls of people that are anxious. When will you be starting to advertise that
process? Thank you. Honorable Kumalo. We all know that this department and its entities lie in the heart of the society in our hand. Let me just welcome the presentation. Here I was just listening attentively when the presenter specifically talks about the problem that I experienced. I mean, maybe to combine the two, the volunteers that are coming forward to say the child is there, now they have to cancel. I'm just eager to know if they are effectively behind that. But also, just as in, I love something that has been mentioned by the I'll say the name Tandy, when she was saying those staff members or department service that has been discovered that are part of this, they'd be able to paid back. But among those, they are the ones that are not civilians, are not working with department. And she also said, mouthful to say, they will make some means of them to pay back, and they'll find a way of them to pay. Now, I'm just having a question as well, over the back of my mind, to say, it is, of course, become a constitutional right if you go through the constitution to say these people, if they're unable to support themselves, I mean, they have to get the social best. They have to be supported by the social staff. Now the question is, are they going to be lose their particular right that is covered in the constitution if they are going to be made to pay, or how are they going to be made pay for this money? Surely, if that person committed that fraud, it's because there was no ways of some. There was always a means of any income. I mean, by saying this, I'm not welcoming that fraud has to continue. But I'm just saying. I mean, we are public representatives. We have to look at issues in many, sides of it. If it happens, that with this department, they have, number of thinking to say how am I going to benefit? As I said earlier on, that it is. At the heart of any person that is at home to say, let me just follow this route so that I must have benefits. But I'm saying the person is sitting home without any income. I mean, he or she is not qualified for any old income. I mean, at the end of the day, he or she is involved in this problem. But now that he's discovered that he is part of it, he has to be made to pay back. I'm just thinking, I'm not expecting any answer, but to say how, what is those means for these people that they are will be made out to pay this money back. I'm just thinking that.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, and let me welcome the presentation. Mine is just a comment, it's not a question. About this overcrowding at the registration time. You know that? Last time, Chair, I went at my hometown in Shwaira in Northwest and go and check about this thing of registration. I find an 82 years old pensioner sitting there wanting to be re-registered. When I went to the manager in that office, she showed me the list of the house that they are going to visit, of those 82. And the name of that old person was in that list. The officials were already out there visiting them at their home. Then she decided to come to the site. So I think this thing of overcrowding, really sometimes we point fingers on Sasa to say this long queues and they are doing something, but our people are not cooperating on these issues. That is what I wanted to bring to the attention of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, the issue of fraud and corruption is attributed to many factors. But by the fact that we have the biometric process, I think importantly, it is primarily put in place to deal with these kind of challenges. Having said that, it would be interesting just to know, the last time we were in oversight in KZN, we had the opportunity to look at, to witness one of the re-registration through the biometric process. And we were quite impressed. So in view of that, you could perhaps inform us as to what is your turnaround strategy, turnaround time for an application. Secondly, the issue about verification. In order to curb and deal with fraud and corruption, with the alignment of other governmental departments, SAPS fraud, to minimize, is your department linked if you have to verify, like for example fingerprints, etc. The issue of risk management, I heard my colleague earlier about emphasize the issue about an 82 year. I think on our oversight it was informed that anyone that was over the age of 70, that you had officials that were visiting that were frail, sickly and disabled. Perhaps maybe you could elaborate what is the focus on that aspect. Chairperson, the other one that is of my concern is the issue of the banks. There seems to be some sort of confusion as to which banks could be used, whether it's Capitec, whether it's Post Bank, etc. And pensioners find that when they go to a particular area to deposit or get their funds, they have been informed that, sorry, you cannot utilize this particular bank. Can we have some kind of clarification on that? I wanted to ask this, Chair, but I'm not too sure as to whether you might rule me off if I'm out of order. But in terms of this biometric, and you've given the smart card, earlier on we heard the President elaborate on the issue of hopelessness and distress. Would it be wise to actually bring all the various programs, like what you're referring to in terms of distress relief, so that when a pensioner is dealing with one particular program, there is no different cards that are used? And you know, I'm just throwing that out just to find out if it's not possible to avoid the confusion. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just want to make a comment to, although Honorable Ufiki said she doesn't want an answer to this, but I do want to make a comment that says I'm lucky to one of those that have traveled to Southern Africa. And South Africa is the best in terms of making sure that people are getting something on the table. I've stayed in Zambia for years, but you don't get, you know, this kind of grant. People are getting South Africa. But we do want to say this committee is fighting corruption, and the ANC ruling party is against the corruption. Yes, we are concerned about people that they must get something, but not fraudulent. What we're fighting here is fraudulent. If you get grants twice, you must suffer. You must account for it. Why are you getting grant twice? So, and we do have policies. The people that must get the grant have policies around those people. So if you don't fall under one of those policies, you don't create your own policy and get a grant. And the other question, Chair, is around the life certificate, proof of life certificate. Life certificate, is it the person getting the grant, that, or the, I'm talking about the child this time, whether it will be the person getting the grant or the child. And then, again, when you're taking child for the second time to get the grant, it's not the same birth certificate that they're using. Why are we not able to detect that if the child is brought twice? What system that these people are using in order for them to get this grant? And also, is there a system? I think I'm asking you this for the second time. I think you did answer me, Phil, or when I was saying Home Affairs, Social Development, is there a system that speaks to you that says so and so is no more? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Chair, I'll start again with the last question before we're out. We do have regular meetings with Home Affairs. We also have systems checked between the database of people's deceased and ours. In fact, what people do, the fraud that's committed with the Imbombozi, is that they go to Home Affairs with the child and get another birth certificate.
Oh.
So the same child could have three or four birth certificates.
Wow.
That is what's happening.
You.
So we must understand the process of that. The issue of FRD and cards to be used, I mean, we have the type of cards, we've even spoken to Home Affairs about their cards they're thinking of to put our fingerprint, but we will have to say that our cards, the UDPS cards, this card, I always walk around with it, have a special features in it, and it's not just an identity card. It has a product on the mag strip that you pull, and it gives you ID information, etc., etc. So we will cooperate with others, but not at this time. The Home Affairs is still in the process of piloting. Could be the future, not where we are right now. We will continue to use our card. In terms of programs to people on SRD, and I mean, DSD and ourselves are working together all the time, and we want to work off an integrated platform, so that is the aim. Were we not, we'd really be very happy to go and engage in that area if members are aware. What banks to use? First of all, everybody, in terms of the new contract, comes with a bank account that's in the Grindrod Bank. We transfer money then into a cash payout point, into a merchant account, or into their account on their name, whether that's the Big Four standard, FNB, etc. I think the difficulty people are having is they now realize that there are bank charges if you have your own a bank account, but there are no charges. It's 100% full cash back if you work straight off the card. And lots of people are starting to learn these things now. Previously, there was all paid, there was a small fee, there was a lot of other freebies. Then ATSA called people in as we were trying to go into the new system, so they wanted to hold onto the tender. They called people to come and open ATSA accounts. Now, people were not informed that they would now have to pay fees like everybody else, full fees. So when it says people are not sure what bank to use, it is about people not understanding you have a bank account attached to certain fee structure, or you go to with your card, you tap the card, and you can swipe it at the Pick and Pay, and you'll get 100% cash back, as we say, whether you're buying things, etc. There's a difference.
or you can go to our pay points and get 100% cash back. But when the bank account is in your name in one of the big four or others, including Capitec and smaller banks, you'll be having to pay a fee structure. That's different. So I think more education needs to be asked also from ourselves in this regard. When we do the re-reg, as we will do from the end of the year for the banking customers, we will inform them, because every day people are now following me and saying, how can I get out of paying fees? People have asked us to speak to the Reserve Bank, and we will be doing, I think, the next Friday's meeting. We'll be raising this issue of the bank charges for people on social assistance, because it is increasing in terms of bank fees at the moment. So there's that. In terms of, Frank, could I ask you to speak to the replacement value of a last card, how much that costs, and also to speak to asylum seekers? Incomplete registration.
In terms of the replacement fee, we, as of 1st of November, we'll charge 3 rand for a replacement, which is a normal standard price that generally banks would charge. But I think the idea was also built into our service level agreement with the service provider. Of course, replacement of cars can be very costly in itself. So hopefully that would also deter people from losing their cars or be giving them away in that regard. The incomplete re-registration, I think it must be understood in the context of this. A beneficiary comes and registers for three children. She brings two and the one does not show. So we have a business rule built in to say that if the one child cannot be brought on that day, possibly the child could be at school or on holiday, we would make provision for you to come back and bring that child. But what we're finding is that child does not possibly live with umama, the child is staying with Ugogo. That's why the child mm-hmm. cannot be brought in this regard. So we've had that number increase every month up until the 131,000. So as of October, we decided to change that business rule, because if we allow it to continue, that simply means that we're allowing more children to get lost in the system, because we want the protocol of the child in this regard. So in these instances that the mother could be drawing grant, but the child is staying with the grand or another relative. So those could be some of the reasons. I mean, those are cases that are subject to investigation. We will allow it to run up until the end of the last quarter. If they haven't shown for whatever reason, we would then suspend the grant for that child in particular that has not shown. And of course, the other two will then continue to be paid. But I think as of October, we would then sort of not allow it to continue anymore. Either you come with the three children or you don't. In the case where you can't rather come and cancel the child that's not living with you, or the child that could be possibly deceased, and then we'll re-register it so that we can ensure that particular re-registration is in fact complete in this regard. The asylum seekers, I think we keep coming back to that at most times, is that the asylum seekers in South Africa, they are given a piece of paper to confirm their status in South Africa as asylum seekers. It's a normal paper. The refugees are given a refugee card, which has got a begin date and end date, which is valid for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So those are the two official documents that the South African government would give to those two class of people. The cases in question where people are drawing money outside of the country, these are South Africans with South African IDs. Now, as to whether those IDs are genuine or not is the question of us having to investigate and find out how did you acquire. So the ID could be genuine, but somebody's decided to relocate to Singapore for an indefinite holiday or for whatever justified or unjustified reasons. And I think when we investigate those cases, we would then be able to respond on each specific case. But in this regard, there are South Africans with IDs, because we wouldn't have an essence grant to them a grant if they didn't have IDs. Yes.
And to ask a question of our relationship with the SIU, the SIU and ourselves are still working. In fact, I've asked our chief investigator, Ms. Renee Ogle, to be with us here today. Drop your hand, Renee. I think Treasury now pays the SIU. We don't pay the SIU. And we'll recall the 3 million a month problem of last year. But the SIU now says that they don't have sufficient funds if we want to accelerate our cases. So we should look for a compact of sharing if we want acceleration. Because we will also remember that the SIU tended to write on acknowledgement of debts from at least 600 customers. And we've changed our approach to investigations. We have said, our turnaround has to be about the workers who are guilty of fraud, the syndicates who are guilty of fraud, and then the customers. So we've turned it around and said we will go after a material amount and then try and get worker charged and arrested. So you will see the arrest rate will increase now, because they are not just our workers, they have to work with other departments, whether it's Home Affairs, Clinic, Justice Department. They also have to work with council, agents who are citizens in communities. So when we arrest and they say we're arresting 9 people, we'll say these are amounts are official, those are the top, these are beneficiaries in each of those. So we're currently working very hard with Ms. Ogle, Crime Intelligence, even the SIU, but we've done these arrests without the SIU.
Mm-hmm.
In our own work. We are going to build more capacity in the short term because we want to not be able to give the keys of the safe to officials who are vulnerable to fraud. So we want to work very hard in the next 6 months getting officials out of the system who are committing this fraud. We find a lot of fraud within the disability matters. We'll find it in the banking part when we get there. Also in TSC, because if you're an official looking for a pension fund, you will do 280 times 40 per month, you could make your double pension. But we are better equipped than we were before. So we are working very hard. So we might enter into agreement with SIU to give them some money. But we're not paying them that $3 million a month, because Treasury gives them the money. I thought to make that very clear. In terms of the Home Affairs and the Amakoli, the death being reported, we have found in certain areas in the Eastern Cape and in other areas where our people, A, don't register when a child is born, neither when a child dies. So there's an education process that has to be embarked. We can do it ourselves in Home Affairs as a unit, because there seems to be issues like that in the country that I think in the beginning we didn't thought everybody just goes to register. Because there are genuine cases. And we have found that. But that is why we have to investigate each and every case. But we can, based on our evidence thus far, say they are even boys. People have been trading on more than one child. And it's been found, a woman driving around with 6 children in the car, and they're all other people's children, and this is how she was trying to re-register them for her. And then we discovered, you know, the fingerprints are already in the database. And I say that Home Affairs is very glad we do children's fingerprints, because they do not have a database. For the first time we're working, we're doing the hard work, but we'll be able to share the government. So the re-reg, not just for SASA, is also assisting the country with some of those problems. And you're right, the kind of goody people, there's an allegation of a syndicate we're looking into where people just drive in a combi across the border, come and apply. A lot of fraud that we're working on there. The voice print. Thank you, want to explain voice, please?
But very technical to explain it, obviously, simply, but I'm going to try without trying to be very technical. I think two concepts when we had put out the tender was that we would have to have two forms of proof of life, and I think the one was the biometrics in terms of the thumbs.
Mm.
I think in terms of voice prints is basically that we would expect a beneficiary to be able to call into a call center to confirm proof of life.
Mm.
So whether you have the flu or you're not feeling well, the system will be able to recognize the print in your voice and then confirm proof of life. And then the funds then in essence will be able to then release. So if you don't call, and of course the system cannot recognize your voice as far as the prints are concerned, it simply means that your proof of life won't be confirmed. Now there's been concerns around this to say that if I don't call, I won't get my money. Sure. But of course you still have the option of going to a pay point or to a merchant to use your biometrics in that regard. So a beneficiary will never be disadvantaged if I don't call, because those channels are... So if I forget to call and payments the dirt to that, you walk across the road to check it or to a bank, walk to a pay point and be able to use my biometrics to confirm my call. I'm not sure whether I've addressed it, but I think in simplistic form, yes, it's a form of a biometric having to detect your voice. And I think it really doesn't go in terms of the voice as it sounds in itself. There's certain prints that it picks up, you know. So whether you've got the cold or flu or you're not feeling well, it doesn't become an issue. Thanks.
In terms of the other issues raised, a grant application,
put into family caseloads 1 to 21 days, I think. 1 day to 21 days. Because in some offices, to get from the application, if you have all your paperwork and you've met all the requirements, we can issue a letter of award on the same day. That is what I want to see. My point is we must just make sure that all the checks and balances are in place. So I said to staff, we aim in the future to do 1 to 3 days, coming from the 21 days, because the verification process, if you're fully automated, the minute you log in the ID, that will give check cross reference with everywhere, with guests, with SARS. That's what we want to achieve, that outcome. And that's what we mean by fully automated. That means you could be logged on within that same hour, literally, with a letter. And that is the status we want to achieve in SAS, and we're working towards it. We're not there yet. But we can issue you a letter of approval, a 1021 in one day. And what's the issue of 75 years is the age upon which, or frail or disability or incapacity, that we will come to a home visit. I think communities operate by word of mouth. You've noticed this now with the village. It doesn't matter if you say this is your sequence of deaths to come. The minute the neighbor has gone to re-reach, those people come. It doesn't matter if it's over 3 days. They will all just go. They'll see the satellite, they'll be down the road, they will put pressure on the system. We've tended to allow that because I don't want people being sent back. I do want people served. But sometimes the pressures are like that. So we say, 75 is over, you incapacitated. But some gorgeous of 80, my mother will not want to be in at home ever. She will say, I'm 80, people come. That's what some people are doing. They're saying this is a social event for them to come and sit there and check. We get upset. We get upset because we know that the media will be on us. And sometimes they'll say to me, don't worry, my child is alright, we like this. And we say, oh, but it's uncomfortable, you know, we need to come and see you at home. And I say, no. This is, they feel they're able to come. But that is the rule that we do have. And officials have to take the details, proper record call, we have to go. I think it's all about timing in communities and word of mouth, and also us using the right style of communication, which I don't think we've tried to achieve. Ma'am, I don't think there was anything else on this, I've forgotten. I think we've answered. This is my answer.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Benny Shokantas, doing a follow-up to the question, to the answer of Chair, me, I'm in the other committee, which is social and rural development. In the rural development committee, we used to give people land back, those who were chased by the apartheid government in their land. In that land, there is no school, chasing. You find that children, they walk 10 up to 15 kilometers to reach the school. Sometimes it is in my family. Let's make the example about me. It is my family. You see an 8-7 year child walking that distance. I feel pain. I take them to stay with me. But I cannot say they must give me the card of those children. But I'll say to his mom or her mom, you must get this grant and buy your children food, shoes and clothes. I'll give them food and I'll give them the money to go to school and food. But I cannot buy them the clothes and school shoes because they are earning their grant. You must do that. But I cannot take that grant from their mom to bring it to me. Because I have my own children, I have my own food in my house, I afford to buy food for them in my house. But I cannot say they must be earning their grant, which is their right to earning their grant in their mom. party. I'm telling you, Johannesburg, their money is going to prison. And what will happen? What will happen with all that? Because when you send them there to get a grant to re-register, they found that there's a wrong queue. There's a wrong queue, and they must come back to the school and, also, because they are in schools. I want to get a grant on that because I'm staying in Jobbed, the other one is staying in KZN. They are in the place that there is no school, because they get back their land. There is no school that has been built until today. Thank you.
Okay,
I just
go
down the road. I just
want
a question for you.
Mine is just a small one. He had given us a very clear explanation on how this voice print works. But now, I just wonder, was my voice recorded before? Because I begin to lose how do they recognize it if my voice was not recorded before? I mean, obviously, if I'm a pensioner, they have taken my fingerprints and so on. So now when it comes to the voice, do we voluntarily go there to have our voice recorded so that in future, when you have to make a choice, for example, you know you are also recorded? So my issue is the recording, prior recording before recognition.
Thank you, Honorable Gobeli. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm really fascinated by this voice recognition device. I just want to find out what you would do if at all I record my mother's voice to keep it when the time she has passed on and keep on playing it on the phone to pretend as if she's still alive.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I hear the interpretation of the elderly that want to go out for a social. But sometimes you find a certain pay point and you know, you have some unforeseen circumstances, and it, even sometimes you find people die. Whilst the intention might be good, but social development is subject and open to a lot of criticism. Not purely based on the essence of the illness, but of the unforeseen circumstances. So we must take cognizance of that. But having said that, won't it be wise and much more convenient if information was disseminated to deal with a particular grant application on a particular day, rather than doing child support, disability, etc.? You know, maybe if information is sent at this particular day, we will be only be doing re-registration for that. Have you applied your mind to that particular aspect? Thank you, Chair.
This is not a question, but it is a comment. I'm looking at the people that are getting money, the stats of people that are getting money outside the country. And Lesotho has the highest number of people. I do want to say we have a serious problem in South Africa that even, you know, I know that people from Swaziland, most of them, they even buy houses from here and to RTP houses that they get. And I do want to say, I think there's a slight problem of people that are doing investigations within the department. Do you make sure that when you do the vetting, people that are involved in investigation that are within the department, what if one of them is also the culprit? How do you make sure that people that are doing investigations are not part of the fraudulent itself? How do you make sure that those that are doing that job, again, let me put it that way,
the voice recognition chair is very amazing. I remember one member asked, what is a president Babalan? Is it also detective? But I do want to say, Chair, there is a lot of comments saying USASA has done us good.
Yeah.
And we see now the challenges that we had before are actually, you know,
decreasing.
And they are about, we are smiling now. We used to, you know, when USASA is coming to do it to the nation, we used to, you know, carry weapons that we must have shambles and so that you are able to shamble. But we leave them behind now because we see that they are doing very well. Thank you very much.
You don't have me.
Thanks, Chairperson. In terms of the primary caregiver, because I think that's the explanation of a person living in a rural area and there's no school and they come live in the city. This is an agreement that we need to have between the parent and the primary caregiver, if that is the issue. We have found as we've gone out to Deep Mpumalanga and areas, where the children are staying with the gogo and the mother's getting the money and they're not getting the money at all. And those are the issues we want to intervene in, saying the money follows the child. So we will very clearly intervene in those matters. That's what we want to see, the mother first of all with the children. It's for her to inform us. If we pick up through our social development network, because what happens? Those families come through social development back to us as clients from the social workers say, these kids are malnourished, they're not, and we see on our system, they are registered for grants. When we check where the payment is happening, it's happening in Joburg. Those are the ones we are shifting. So these things, we will go through the process. But the money follows the child. That's what we keep saying. So we will, once we are informed, it makes it easier. Workers come after it because of complaints. Yes, the voice is pre-recorded as part of the registration. Oh, the gentleman. There's a full biometric of the 10 fingers, the photograph, and if you are in the banking system, we will take the pre-recorded voice. That is part of it. The point is, you can't have a repetitive line in your response every month. We will pick up and detect, so you can't every time say, my name's Jay, my name's Jay, 6 months, 12 months, no. We will say that these are the numbers, so you can't do the pre-recorded voice to speak to us in the length of time. So be aware that people can even cut fingers to do the biometrics. There's a lot of very ugly things that have happened in Iran. Ugly. We don't think it was within our people to do, but they have done these things. So we've had to come up with ways and means to work past these issues. So obviously you can't take 12 recordings because you have to call in every month with the same message we will detect. We want you to get through an additional month, but we'll come after it with the normal investigation. Info, and we've tried in the offices to do child support for 2 days and then old age grants, and then you have people coming and you've got to serve it. So what I say to the staff in VVH, try and do the older person first. Those are little young ones, wait. But there's a whole pay cycle going on at events in SASA which we need to start dealing with. It's 20 rand to jump a queue. I go almost like you're crazy when I get to a point and I see that the security guards have been paid for someone to jump a queue and there's young ones who are jumping the queue. And I've had people fired from the company there and then when I detected. But we have to put more monitoring into our pay points. Because that defines what we meant to do. When we say those who are frail, those who are infirm, older people, you've got to push into the front, get the younger people going to the back. But they find creative ways. So there's always money to be made around where money is happening. And it's very sad. But we will see, we've got a numbers program now for VVH. We can try and see if it's congested, if we want to break it down into grant acts, but you'll always find people coming in the community because they know here. They'll come. The vetting and the biometric and who's the thing and who's investigating. Safe to say that we'd like to believe that through the SA process of vetting, that investigators will be vetted. As I said earlier, that's the staff that we already had. It's the new staff that's been through the process. It's the old staff that must be vetted. And we must be honest. Because that's where we'll find some of our issues. So once we started to introduce the biometric will be coming in January, we've got to work with that. Lifestyle orders. I am bringing in the company to do all the management right through the country. Because I've asked for this repeatedly and constantly to get it done in the normal space of government work. So sometimes you have to pay, and I will work very hard this year to eliminate people on stealing from government in SASA because I have to go to where SASA will have to pay out itself. And then we need to have a better integrity bar than we have right now as we sit here. So we will continue with that work. And the voice recording is about measuring the way in which your voice works, not the tone of your voice. There's elements that you see on a screen. There's certain inflection in the way you speak. And that's what they will be measuring. Not we just get up today and we okay tomorrow. We just say two words that are more up mark. We can't exact mark means your voice.
Madam Mala.
Now come to the end of our meeting. And thank you very much.
Not hang from the limb, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to.